Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon on this Trinity Sunday is The Mystery of the Trinity. Based on just two verses from our gospel reading that was read today from Matthew 28, give ear again to these words of our Lord Jesus. Jesus said, "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." I encourage you to pick up your worship folder and look on the front cover, and you'll find the outline for today's sermon, The Mystery of the Trinity. Mysteries. Who doesn't like a good mystery? Whether the mystery is found in a book, a TV show, or a movie, or wherever, we want to find out who did it. What's going to happen? How will it all turn out? Mystery. But the Bible uses the word mystery in a totally different way. In the Bible, mystery refers to, and it's on your outline, a mystery refers to the wonderful things of God that human beings cannot fully understand, but that God reveals to us. Just two examples of this kind of mystery. What is a mystery again? The wonderful things of God that we cannot fully understand, but that God reveals to us. Just two examples of this kind of mystery would be the mystery of Holy Communion and the mystery of the Holy Trinity. Today, St. Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, these words, "So men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those who have been entrusted with the mysteries of God." Today, we're especially going to focus our attention on the mystery of the Holy Trinity. The truth that God reveals Himself to us as one God, but three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This truth is the very basis of our Christian faith. It's the very Christian faith we profess Sunday after Sunday in either the Nicene or the Apostles, and today the Athanasian Creed that proclaims we believe in God the Father, we believe in God the Son, and we believe in God the one God, three persons. There's the mystery. But before we go much further, let's consider another creed. A creed is a statement of faith or belief. And the first creed we can find clearly recorded in Scripture is Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. This is what it says. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord our God is one." This ancient Hebrew creed is called the Shema. Shema means to listen. Shema means to pay attention. The creed is very simple and very clear. There's one true God. Now, this was a very important statement of faith for the Old Testament people of God of Israel, because they were constantly surrounded with pagan nations who had any number of false gods and man-made false idols. But next, let's look at a creed found in Genesis chapter 1, the Old Testament reading for today. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and God said, 'Let there be light.'" At the beginning of creation, we see a testimony to God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father created. God the Spirit hovered. And when God spoke forth His Word, all creation came into existence. And did you know that in the Bible, the phrase, "the Word," is often a title for Jesus? St. John, in his first chapter, helps us understand this. He explains that Jesus, God's Son, was at the creation and Himself an agent of creation. Listen carefully to these words from John chapter 1. They're meant to be a mirror of Genesis 1. John writes, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." The Word is a title for Jesus. So now I'm going to read this passage again. And this time when I read the passage, I'll give you the intent of John by substituting Jesus for the phrase, the Word. It's the same thing. Listen again. "In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us." John 1, as we said, is written to be a mirror of Genesis chapter 1. We're told that Jesus was the Word of God in the very beginning. He's eternal. That Jesus, the Word, was with God alongside His Heavenly Father. That Jesus was God at the beginning. As much as the Father was God and the Spirit of God, so was Jesus, the Word. And when God spoke forth His Word, when God spoke forth Jesus, the Word, all creation came into being. And then comes that wonderful verse, John chapter 1, verse 14. Listen carefully to this verse. This single verse is John's entire Christmas story. He says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus, the eternal Word, Jesus, very God of very God, became flesh, became a human being in the cradle in Bethlehem. The Word became flesh. And that's John's Christmas story. And in today's gospel reading, the vicar read from Matthew 28, we hear the same Jesus now in public ministry giving a last command to His disciples. Jesus has just risen from the dead. He is about to ascend back to His Father in heaven. But before He leaves, He gives one final command to His apostles. And here they are. Words that become for us the Word of God we speak at every baptism. Jesus says these words, "Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." But also in Matthew chapter 3, we see a clear testimony to the mystery of the Trinity. Here's another scene. Jesus is about to begin His public ministry. And to fulfill all the law of God, Jesus allows Himself to be baptized in the Jordan River by John. And listen to what is written. "When Jesus had been baptized, He came up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to Him. And He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, and suddenly a voice from heaven, 'This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" God the Son is baptized. God the Spirit descends in the form of a dove. And the voice of God the Father comes from heaven, "This is My beloved Son." Now, here's the mystery. In Deuteronomy 6, we have been told, there is only one true God. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one." And yet all the other Bible passages we've examined speak of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one being. So what is it? One or three? Let me use a made-up German word. The word in German for yes is ja. The word for German in no is nein. So the question is it one or is it three? And the answer is jein. The answer is both. And this is the mystery. As we said earlier, here it comes again, the biblical definition of a mystery. A mystery is a wonderful truth from God that human beings cannot fully understand, but that God reveals to us. It has truly been said by Christian theologians and philosophers over the centuries that God has not left Himself without witness, even in creation, to the mystery of the Trinity. So listen again. You heard the children's sermon, but listen again as God shows us this in creation. Consider water. One substance. But water appears in our earth in three forms. Water from high school chemistry. We remember the equation H2O. And this H2O substance appears in water in three forms. Liquid, that is water. Solid, that is ice. And gas, that is steams or clouds. Each form is H2O water. But each form is not the same as the other. And so in Holy Scripture we have seen. The Scripture gives testimony to the mystery of the Trinity. God is revealed as one being, but three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each one God, but each one not the same as the other. Again, here's the mystery. It's a mystery we human beings cannot fully understand or comprehend. But when we're faced with the mystery of God, there are only two choices. We trust in our fallible human minds, or we trust in God's Word, what He's revealed about Himself. And we trust God's Word that He is who He claims to be, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the wonderful mystery that the Christian church all over the world is celebrating this day on Trinity Sunday. That's why we use that Athanasian Creed only once per year to highlight the mystery of the Trinity. Now, it's important, as much as possible, for us to understand the doctrines of the Bible, like the Trinity. It's important for us to understand Christian doctrine. Why? Because all around us today, we're surrounded with false teachings about God. And so we aren't led astray. It's important we know the teachings of the Bible. That's called doctrine. That's why every year, when we offer a new adult instruction class, adult confirmation class, and we just finished it, we just celebrated that 2 weeks ago, all these folks being baptized and brought in as new members. That's why every year when I offer this class, I encourage all members of the congregation to take this class again as a refresher of their Christian faith. If you want to ask someone, how much they have learned and learned again by taking this class, well, I could pick on a number of you, but I see Harold Boucher, I see Ewald who have taken this class. It's worth taking again. But far more important than just, now watch it, when you have a head like mine, this illustration works. Far more important than just knowing knowledge in our head. Far more important than just knowing knowledge in our head about God is having trust in our heart. Look at Psalm 31:14. It says, "But as for me, I trust in You, O Lord. I say, You are my God." Note also James 2:19. James writes, "You believe there's one God. Good. Even the demons believe that, and they tremble." James is speaking to people of his day and our day who say this. And you've heard someone say this. Oh, I believe there's a God. James says, big deal. So what? Even the demons believe in their head. They have head knowledge of the existence of God, but they tremble. Simply knowing about God is not the same as trusting God. The same is true today for people who say, oh, I believe there's a God, but you know, I'm not really trusting Him. I'm not really worshiping Him. This head knowledge needs to travel 18 inches from head to heart. And I want to conclude our sermon today by sharing with you an old story that illustrates this truth so very well. Would you draw your attention to the screen? This is a very old photograph taken in the mid to the end of the 1800s of a Frenchman whose name was Blondin. Blondin was known, at least in France, as a very skilled gymnast. And his specialty was walking across a tightrope. You see him pushing a little handmade wheelbarrow or cart there. Blondin knew if he wanted to become really famous. You can go home on the internet today and look it up and read more about Blondin. He knew if he really was going to make a name for himself, he had to come to North America where the money was. So in the latter part of the 1800s, he moved to the USA and decided he had to pull off an amazing stunt to get a name for himself to become famous. So with his prized assistant, for years they practiced the feat of walking across tightropes. Till finally he picked where he was going to go, and he went to Niagara Falls. You can look it up. And as the crowds gathered and the photographers and newspaper reporters were there, people were gathered to see him. And as a great showman, he walked the rope across the Niagara Falls and came back, and the crowd roared. And then he walked about halfway across with the balancing beam, and when he had their attention, he threw it high in the air, and it crashed hundreds of feet below, and the crowd gasped. He walked back to the shore a third time, and as a great showman, he pointed to the crowd and said, "Do you believe that I, the great Blondin, can push this wheelbarrow back and forth across the rope?" And the crowd shouted, "We believe." And then he turned to his assistant, the man who had been with him for all these many years. And he said to his assistant, "Do you believe that I can push this wheelbarrow back and forth across the rope?" And the assistant, who looked a lot like Gary Imhoff, said, "Blondin, how could you ask me? Of course I believe you can push that wheelbarrow back and forth across the rope." And Blondin said, "If you believe that I can do it, then you get in the wheelbarrow and I will push you back and forth across the falls on the wheelbarrow." My friends, this is the kind of faith, this is the kind of belief to which God is calling you today. Not just head knowledge, "I believe there's a God," but heart trust. Today, we've spoken about the mystery of the Trinity, and hopefully you now understand this mystery better. But more important than that is that you trust God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that trusting Him, you will get in His wheelbarrow in this life and unto life everlasting. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now worship our Lord with His offering.